You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 1049-1450 at nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is brought to you by New England College and NEC.edu, offering over 35 undergraduate programs, graduate programs as well, including clinical mental health counseling. I encourage you to check out NEC.edu. For more information, in just a moment, U.S. Senator Gene Shaheen will join us here on the program. But first, I want to let you know that this segment of the show is brought to you by SunCook Dental. Dr. Andrew Albee and his team are phenomenal. Their focus is on your comfort and care as a patient. I encourage you to check out SunCook Dental at suncookdental.com to learn how you can become a patient at SunCook Dental. Joining us right now on the program is United States Senator Gene Shaheen. She joins us from D.C. as the record shutdown continues. We'll talk about that and also information that President Trump confiscated the notes of the translator from the meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, Finland, several months ago, in which Senator Shaheen, when I was down in D.C. For the last time, I believe it was in July, she asked for those notes to be made available to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and also for the translator to testify in front of that committee. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, on the shutdown, what are your takeaways here? And is there an end in sight or is this going to continue on?
Well, at this stage, it doesn't appear that there's an end in sight. And this is a tragic shutdown for hundreds of thousands of federal workers who are being forced now to work without pay, many of them. Many of them are furloughed. 380,000 are furloughed. And for many of them, they're having to miss mortgage payments. They're having to figure out how to deal with their babysitter. I talked to a TSA employee in New Hampshire who was talking about the challenges for people as they're trying to get up and go to work early in the morning to not have the money to pay their babysitters. They don't have gas money to get to work, and it's costing the economy over $1 billion a week. So this is a needless shutdown. There are a dozen different ways that we ought to be able to compromise on this issue, and it's just tragic that the President of the United States would rather see the damage to the economy, the harm to federal workers, than to work with the Congress to find an agreement.
Senator Hassan, when she joined us in the program last week, hinted that perhaps Congress would get to the point where they would circumvent the president. Republicans in the House and Senate would join with Democrats to form a veto-proof majority if this got to that point. Now, we've seen polling numbers indicate that more Americans are blaming the president and Republicans for the shutdown, and certainly that type of report starts to get to Republican members of Congress as well as Republicans who are up for reelect in the U.S. Senate a little bit nervous, but not to the numbers that would be necessary, I would assume, to override the president's veto.
Well, that's what's so frustrating about the situation that we're in. As we know, before the holidays, the passage of funding the government passed on a voice vote. There wasn't any opposition in the Senate until the next day when the president, who had agreed to sign that continuing resolution to keep the government open, heard from the conservative talk media host and said, oh no, I've got to stand tall, I can't do this, and said he was going to veto it, and then the House came forward with different legislation. So we have now seen from the new Democratic House, they have passed bills that had already been agreed to by the House and Senate. They are Republican bills that passed out of the Senate 92-6, all but the Department of Homeland Security, which is where the funding for border security is. And yet, Mitch McConnell has been unwilling to bring those bills back to the floor of the Senate to pass them and open up government.
Indeed, that is the case. Although most individuals are blaming Republicans and the president more, obviously there is, particularly amongst independents, the feeling that the blame should be cast to everyone, and that Democrats could certainly compromise if they wanted to do so, given how yourself and others have voted in the past for border security. So The one of the dozen compromises that you referenced would be supplying funding for what Border Patrol agents have called for in regards to additional wall or replacement wall along the southern border, making it clear from a Democrat perspective that this is not the Trump wall. This is funding for border security that has been asked for. And then the president will claim that this is the Trump wall, and that's a way to potentially end it. But you don't see Democrats being willing to do that.
Well, everybody I know is supportive of border security. I voted for billions of dollars for border security and the comprehensive immigration reform. I've supported the 650-plus miles of wall that we have now on our southern border. And I think some combination of that in conjunction with technology is important. But what we should not be doing is spending the money foolishly. And I fear that this is really not about President Trump's wall. As he said throughout his campaign, the Mexicans were going to pay for it. So if he wants to get this wall, then he can go negotiate with Mexico, because that's who he said was going to pay for it. And if he really wanted to get this wall, then he would have done that over the last 2 years when the Republicans controlled the Senate, the House, and the White House. So I think this is about him wanting to divert attention from what's going on with the Mueller investigation, wanting to divert attention from news reports of his ties to Russia, of his wanting to, as he says, be strong for his base. And none of those are good reasons that we should not be able to come to an agreement and keep this government open. You know, the reality is, last year we passed $1.3 billion in border security. That money hasn't even been spent yet. So if the president wanted to take that money and use it for additional fencing, then he could do that. And I was down at our southern border a couple of years ago, and what I heard from our Customs and Border Protection agents and our officials down along our southern border was, first, that most of the fencing that we could build in that part of Texas has been built because without going to court, because of the need to take private property, where private property owners didn't want to give their property for a border wall, and because of environmental concerns. And the second reality is that most of the drugs that come in to the United States come through our southern border. Some come through our northern border, but they come through ports of entry.
Right.
They come on trucks, on cars, on people traveling across the border. They're not coming across in places where we need a border wall. So if we really wanted to do this effectively, we should be thinking about using technology, about hiring additional people on our border, about spending the money that's already been appropriated in a way that's effective. And that is not what the president is trying to do. I mean, the other issue is, as we know, you need to stand up to somebody who's trying to bully the country into getting something that he wants. So if we back down here, what can we say about the next time he wants something and he comes to Congress? And should Congress is a separate branch of government. We're not supposed to just rubber stamp whatever the president wants. We're supposed to be accountable to our own constituents and to hold other branches of government accountable.
As you just pointed out there, the psychology of President Trump is a very interesting place to study, because there are a lot of things that just don't make sense. If your number one campaign promise was to, you know, to build a wall, you have funds available to do such, you would think that you would do it. You would put that gold shovel in the ground, put the helmet on, and say, "Hey, look, I started the Trump wall." And he hasn't done that over a period of now years, and that just doesn't make sense. In regards to this being a diversion, I agree with you completely. I think that individuals are being held hostage because the president is trying to divert from a story that he doesn't like to a story that does well for him with his base. He is, quote-unquote, leading the fight for his base. But as you referenced before, he could have already have started the wall if he had actually wanted to do so. So for some reason, he doesn't. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. In conclusion, on the Russia investigation, as you referenced...
Chris, yeah. Let me just, before you go to the Russia investigation, one of the reasons that the president did not do that over the last 2 years is because most Republicans in the Senate and many in the House don't want to build a wall.
Right.
They understand that there are better ways to secure our border and we should be spending our money wisely. And that's one reason he didn't get this done over the last 2 years.
Yeah, what I mean just in regards to the photo op of just having some wall completed and for him to say to his base, look, I actually started the wall, because the opportunity has existed for that. You're right. There is not broad support for amongst Republicans to spend in a frivolous fashion for a wall that is not needed. When you have to have the supporting infrastructure, which is necessary anyway, in regards to technology, to back up that wall. So I just don't understand why there has not been any sort of an attempt to begin the wall on the part of the president. But onto the Russia investigation, you called for the interpreter as well as the notes to be made available to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. A, what has happened in regards to that? And I assume that nothing has happened. And I was just curious as to why, in your view. And second, you know, do you think that this is going to, in light of the report that the president confiscated and probably destroyed the notes of this meeting, what does that mean?
Well, it's very troubling. It raises more questions about why is he so reluctant to have people know what he and Vladimir Putin have talked about. After the Helsinki meeting last summer, as you referred to, I called for the interpreter to give her notes to the Foreign Relations Committee, to Congress. I asked that she come and testify either in open or private session so that we could find out what happened in that meeting. And, of course, the Republicans are in control in the Senate, and so they did not ask that happen. But the additional reports that have come out raise further questions about exactly why he's so worried. The president is so worried about having anyone know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think obviously in closed session, that makes sense that should happen. And if there's a precedent that folks don't want to set in regards to the president having to share information in regards to a readout for the public or for it to be in open session, that's fine. But members of Congress, given the nature of the investigations that are taking place, should be privy to what was promised by the president of the United States to an adversary behind closed doors. And as always, in conclusion, we're going to give you the opportunity today to spontaneously announce that you're running for re-election to the United States Senate. Here it is.
Well, Chris, I hope to have an announcement coming pretty soon, but not today.
All right, as always, good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, U.S. Senator Gene Shaheen here on Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour, the program is presented by New England College and nec.edu. And that segment of the show brought to you by Suncook Dental. We'll come back with more after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.